All right, good evening, everybody. Does anyone have any updates they'd like to give us for the prayer list? Okay, so so just prayer for healing?
Right.
Okay. Joe?
Yeah, Joseph Thomas is having a procedure on Friday.
Joseph Thomas is having a procedure on Friday?
Yeah.
Right. Anybody else? I got a call earlier today from Oscar, and one of his best friends he grew up with is Randy Stallings. He has COVID, and he's in the hospital right now, and he can't take the normal drugs because of a blood condition that he has, and so they're putting him on some experimental treatments, and he might get the real drug and he might not. So that's Randy Stallings. So we need to be in prayer for Randy Stallings. And also his wife is dealing with cancer at the same time. So she's kind of overwhelmed with, you know, her cancer struggle at the same time that her husband's struggling. Also, we did get some good news from Oscar. Is his brother is out of the ICU, so he was in the ICU for a few days with COVID, and they put him on a ventilator, but they were able to take him off that ventilator. And you know, anytime somebody goes on a ventilator with COVID, that's a scary thing because you don't know, are they going to be on it for months? Or are they going to be able to come off of it? So I believe he said his brother's around 80 years old. So for him to be strong enough to come after that, that's pretty great. So we have a praise report for them as well. Diane Santa, she is a shut-in, one of our long-term members that lives in Burlington now, and she fell over the weekend. So we need to be in prayer for her. She's a little bit bruised up. I've been trying to get over there to visit her, but it just hasn't worked out with her health and her schedule. So we need to just be in prayer for Miss Diane as she's struggling with that fall. You know, continue to be in prayer for Jessica Moore, and really, I guess, pray for daddy, mama, and baby. You know, it takes a while to start to establish any kind of normal schedule. Our son's 9 months, and I still don't know what normal is, but, you know. One night normal is getting kicked in the back, and the next night normal is getting kicked in the face. So you don't really know what's normal for the first couple of years, I think. So please be in prayer for them. Also, I did want to let everybody know Anna and I are going to be flying next week to Louisiana just to visit with her mom. She's still recovering from her surgery, removing her kidney, and she just can't do much. She can't get out of the house hardly, and isn't able really to move around. So she just needs some people to come take care of her for a little while. So we're going to fly down there, and we're going to be gone in the middle part of the week. So we will not have Wednesday night Bible study next week. But I will record it from Louisiana and put it to the website so you can still hear it. And then, of course, if you have any prayer requests that need to be updated on the prayer list, just make sure to call or email Tina or myself. We'll still make sure that's good. But just be in prayer for us for travel, and then also just hopefully that we can just lift her mom's spirits, and that it's a real encouragement. And you know, she's the one who's used to doing stuff for everybody else, so it's hard for her to have other people come help her. So we just want to be in prayer for Miss Angel. We might be biased, but we really love her. So also, if y'all can continue to be in prayer for Dr. Mike and Terry Miller. Dr. Mike is one of my mentors from seminary. I mean, you know, there's no way that I would have made it through seminary without him. He's just a great, great guy. And he and his wife have both have a lot of complications from COVID. They've only spent a few days in the hospital and they're back home, so we can praise God for that. But, you know, he's an avid runner and walker, and he can't do much exercise because he can't breathe really well. So just prayer for their oxygen levels. And just Anna, if you can continue to pray that God will heal her kidneys and she'll get more function. You know, we want her potassium numbers to drop. If anybody asks you what to pray, pray that potassium goes down and function goes up. You know, that's what I try to pray. People can actually die of high potassium. It can cause heart attacks. So Anna has to take a lot of medicine to make sure that stays down. And we just want that number to go down and so that she doesn't have to take so much medicine and worry me about it, actually. You know, much less herself. Yes, sir.
On either Friday night or Saturday night, I can't remember. I think it was Saturday night. He'd been having some seizures. The doctors had just put in some kind of something to try to keep the seizures from getting bad, but it had not turned on. They hadn't turned it on yet. They were going to turn it on.
Oh, man.
And pass away in sleep.
Wow. What's their family's name? Fuller family. So Stephen Fuller's two-year-old son passed away over the weekend. He'd been having some seizures. So we just really need to pray, be in prayer for them. That's Joe's co-worker, for their family, and man, just for that whole situation. That whole situation. We do have some praise reports. Charles Nunn is feeling much, much better. So that's a good sign that we can be really thankful for. I know Miss Carol is feeling better from her fall as well. So that's another thing we can thank the Lord for. Evelyn, are you feeling better? You're here tonight, so I figure that should show you're feeling better, huh? Like, good. So we need to be in prayer for Evelyn about her tests and just that the doctors should figure out what's going on with her, help her out. Anybody else? Any other prayer requests I might have missed? Anything?
Preacher, I've got one.
Yes, sir.
Kind of a praise report.
Yeah, we take those too. Praise reports.
So, Andrea has struggled for the last year with the absence of children in the classroom.
Right. That's great.
We are, and I'm sure y'all appreciate it, but I am truly thankful for that because that would hurt.
Absolutely. Andrea is able to do translations for Spanish, and they had a second grader come in that didn't speak any English. And that was kind of the Lord's way of showing her that she's where she needs to be, and she is making a difference. Yeah, we could definitely thank God for that. I think all of us need those reminders every now and again that we're making a difference and that what we're doing is having an impact. Anyone else? Let's pray, y'all. God, we just come to you with these requests tonight of people we love and people we care about. Father, people that are suffering from the coronavirus or people, God, who just need medical answers, or Father, those who just need perseverance in their own medical issues, and God, some people that just need encouragement, Father, even the names we don't put down, but the names that rest in our hearts of friends and family members that we just want you to put a touch of your spirit in, Lord God. And I just thank you that you are near the brokenhearted and that you set the captives free. And so, God, I just pray that everybody on this prayer list, everybody on our hearts and minds this evening, God, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would be with them. God, that you would be with them in a specific way that nurtures their needs, that you'd give them the answers and the hope and the fulfillment that they're looking for, Lord God. I pray for divine intervention. I pray for divine appointments. God, we remember Dan in our prayers as well, Lord, that people like him that are suffering with issues, that one day they might be okay and the next they might not feel okay. And God, we just pray that you would be faithful in showing us how to pray, that you'd be faithful in teaching us who to pray for, Lord God, and that we would remember them in our prayers, Lord. We ask you to touch each and every person on this list. Be with Anna and I next week as we travel, and bring us back safe and sound before Sunday. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our lesson this morning comes from Proverbs 10, and I'm going to try to go through the whole chapter. Now, I understand that it's Wednesday, not Sunday, so if I don't get through the whole thing, that's okay. But I have the notes to, if we have the time to. So, Proverbs chapter 10, and the title of this message is Wisdom, Righteousness, and Poverty. Wisdom, Righteousness, and Poverty. And these are sort of the themes that we see throughout the book of Proverbs, but specifically in Proverbs 10. And I'll show you what I mean in a minute. Proverbs chapter 10, and I'm not going to read the whole thing as an introduction. I'll only read through several verses. Proverbs chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. For the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the cravings of the wicked. A slack hand causes poverty, but the diligent hand makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the righteous will rot. But the name of the wicked will rot. And the wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his wicked, crooked way will be found out. Whoever winks the eye makes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. General William Dean was the highest ranking military member that was a POW during the Korean War. He was one of their most prized, if not the most prized, person they captured. And every once in a while, they would parade him out in between the beatings and the torture. And they would torture him in a new way. And they would tell him, today you're going to be executed. We want you to write a letter to your family. So after the war, when he was freed and he was able to see his family again, he gave his wife this letter that he wrote to their son. During one of the times that they told him he would be executed, he sat down that day and he wrote one line. And he said, tell Bill the word is integrity. So he didn't give up. He didn't say what they wanted him to say. And he didn't do what they wanted him to do. He resisted his capture. He resisted even as he was tortured. And really, that's sort of what this chapter of Scripture is about. It's about the idea of integrity and Solomon trying to teach his son the way in which he should live with integrity. And really, this chapter begins the section of Proverbs that when we think about Proverbs, this is what we think about. We think about a series of sayings where you have one line and then a second line that kind of says something similar or contrasts with it. A great example of that is verse 4 where it says that we're lazy with poverty, but we're rich with our working hands. It's an observation and a generalization from daily living. It's advice, warnings. It's the type of information that anybody can learn from. It's specific, but it's also general, and everyone can benefit from it. It's less topical than some other parts of Proverbs, But it lists rewards for virtues and penalties for vices. This is practical. And really, when we say chapter 10 through about chapter 22 to 25, somewhere in there, it continues on this same kind of path of what you think about when you hear Proverbs, of wise sayings that don't necessarily have anything to do with each other as they go. So that presents some interesting challenges to me as I'm trying to teach you how to study this book. So what we're going to do is just go through these Proverbs, and that's why if we run out of time, we can just pick up where we left off. So starting at the beginning, it's a wise son brings undeniable honor to his family, but a foolish son can make even his mom cry. That's Josh's translation. Or, you know, even a mom can't ignore that. You know, choices even a mama can't love. That's the idea. But what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? This second verse, treasure gained by wickedness does not profit, but righteousness delivers from death, is a good reminder that money is not the root of all evil. That's a bad understanding, a bad translation. But money is the root of all kinds of evil. So there's a lot of things that are connected to money, and treasure that's gained in an unlawful or wicked way is tainted. Now, I've heard preachers preach against Bible translations, and as I've said to you before, the Bible you're reading is the Bible I'm happy you're reading. Okay? But I've heard a lot of people attack the Message translation. And I just want to tell you, if you're studying Proverbs or Psalms, the Message is a great translation. In fact, when Eugene Peterson sat down to make a translation, he only translated some Psalms and some Proverbs. Eventually, he finished all of them and got pressured to make a translation of the rest of the Bible. But initially, his project was to take things that were difficult to understand in our English translations and bring more out of them. So in a couple of different places here, I'm going to tell you what the Message translation is, because I think it helps us understand it better. So here, verse 3, the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but thwarts the cravings of the wicked. The Message says this, God won't starve an honest soul, but he frustrates the appetites of the wicked. I like that. This Hebrew word here, it indicates a pushing, that Yahweh pushes away the things that the wicked desire, puts it far from them. Sort of like when we're trying to teach Judah how to crawl. I put that toy just far enough away from him that he has to reach for it and move a little bit in order to get it. Now, if he'll just stop rolling on his back and, you know, roly-polying over there, we'd be good. But that's what God does to the wicked. He puts it away from them so they have to work harder for it. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. As I mentioned earlier, this is a great example of that classic understanding in Proverbs where one verse sort of builds on the tension that's in the verse before it, and then it's able to sort of illuminate the truth in a different way. Or if you think about it a different way, he's saying the same thing two different ways, right? With just a slight different emphasis. So it's important to note that these are principles that are generally true, that lazy people can be so lazy they can call themselves to fall into poverty, but hard work can make people wealthy. The crazy thing about this is, after you get from the first generation of wealth, it tends to start going in the opposite way. But if you look at all the richest people in America, most of them are first generation wealthy, because they have worked their entire lives to build and accrue that wealth, and that's what they're focusing on. So that's why some of the most wealthy people in the country are first generation, whereas the second generation tends to be a little bit lazier. Storing up food in the summer is a metaphor for our preparations so that we have what we need at the proper time. This also indicates that those who are not doing what they're supposed to, or the son who brings shame to his family, he's not just bringing shame, but it shows that he's bringing a frustration of expectations. He's not meeting the expectations of his family. There's an emphasis on this between frustrating and making your parents proud. That's sort of what he's trying to draw a distinction between, because he's a parent and he's talking to his son. So that's what he's trying to accomplish. And really, this verse and all the rest of the verses in chapter 10 have a contrast between sort of the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. Most of them will reference either what you say or your lips or your tongue or your hunger, and then also sort of what comes out of your mouth. You know, good or bad. So it's drawing this distinction between righteousness and wickedness, and what we say and do and what we put into and what comes out of us. That's really what this whole rest of the section is about. So verses 6 and 7. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. I like that translation. I like the way it's worded. The righteous brings blessings and renewal with their words. They bring encouragement. While wicked bring violence, they bring deceptive words, they bring dishonesty. We need to be careful that while we think we're being righteous, we don't end up becoming wicked. We have to ask ourselves, are our words and our purpose of our words to build up or to tear down? Verse 8, the wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. So wise people receive God's word, but foolish people talk over his commandments. And I thought about myself when I was reading this, I'll be honest with you. I thought about myself, and sometimes, and it happened to me again today, and I'd already written this, so God knows, but sometimes my wife wants to tell me a couple of important things right when I get home from work. And that's not the time for me to remember it, okay? I'm just being honest with you. If I walk in the door and something important happens, I'm going to have to ask her later what she said, you know? Or if the TV's on in the background and I'm looking at my phone and she's trying to tell me something important, I have to set my phone down, turn the TV off, and say, what did you just say? Well, the same thing's true here with foolish people in God's Word. It can be going on all around them, but they're not paying any attention to it. They ignore it. Or they explain it away. And that's kind of the new. New people and a new way to attack the Bible is to try to explain it away and say, oh, well, those words were written thousands of years ago. They don't really apply. Or that scripture doesn't really mean that in that way. If Jesus was here today, he'd say something different. You know, my God doesn't treat that way. People want to explain it away because they become uncomfortable about it and they don't like it. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. There is security and safety in living your life with integrity, and there is risk in living your life without integrity. And the risk is that lack of integrity is going to come back to bite you, and somebody's going to treat you the same way that you treated them. When I think about this, when I think about the risks of good living versus bad living, the word picture that I thought of today was the times that I went to Brazil. And I don't know if any of you have traveled internationally, but the best thing about traveling internationally is coming back home to America and realizing how blessed you are to live in America. And I'm not being political or patriotic, I'm just telling you the truth. So in Brazil, they have these things, they have these places called favelas, okay? And a favela is a place that nobody really owns anymore. And a lot of poor people just gather together and they take trash and they build like a little shanty town. And if enough poor people gather together, they're able to live in this place, okay? And if you're driving to the mall, a town I visited, then you end up seeing all these poor people along the way. And as you travel there, you have to pass them to get to the mall. You have to pass them to get to the nice part of town. And when you get to the nice part of town, there are rows and rows of these fences with barbed wire on the top. And it is like gates and it's protected. And that's the image that popped in my mind. It's like when we live our lives with integrity and we make a decision to not treat people a certain way, and for our yes to be yes and our no to be no, and for us to be dependable, then what ends up happening is people know that and they're aware of it. And it's just like those barbed wire fences at the top. It serves as a way to protect us and for us to be safe. And people that live their lives without any integrity are putting themselves at risk, because the sad truth is that people who live out there in those favelas are very exposed. There's no running water. There's no toilet services of any kind. It just runs under the buildings. You can't lock your door. There's no doors. You can't close your window. People are attacked. They're raped. They're murdered because they can't protect themselves. That's what it's like to live in a favela. And that's what it's like to live a life without integrity, because you're putting yourself at risk to be treated harshly. Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. Listen, dishonest people can't make eye contact. That's the idea. They cause trouble. It's like, unless someone is some kind of psychopath, they shouldn't be able to look you dead in the eyes and lie to you all that well, right? They shouldn't be able to look at you dead in the eyes and treat you super, super sketch, right? They should be able to treat you in the proper way. The mouth of the righteous is the fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. This kind of connects back to the idea of verse 6, that blessings and violence come from the mouth, the same kind of mouth, one wise, one wicked. So he's drawing a distinction there. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. The Message translation says this. I love this. I love the way this is, okay? This is not mine. This is his, Eugene's, okay? He said that good persons' words are like a deep, life-giving well, but the wicked is like a cave of abuse. And the idea is that when you go into a dark cave, you don't know what's out there, right? It's dangerous. It's scary. It's dirty. You don't know what's going to happen. Kind of like when your microphone is not on your face right or something and it cuts in and out. You don't know what's going to happen. So the wise words are like a cool, deep, refreshing stream of water. While words of anger, they're like a scary cave. You don't know what's coming out of there. There's an uncertainty to it. Love covers. This word for cover, it's a Hebrew word. It can be conceals, forgives, cancel. I like that. Cancel. There's some Jesus in that translation of the word, isn't there? Jesus cancels our sin debt. He comes and says, I'm guilty, so that you can be declared innocent. Charles Stanley said this about these verses. He said, we all make mistakes in our relationships, and the natural reaction to an offense is anger. But if we want our relationships to work, we must learn to apply love, not bitterness, to the wounds that we suffer. Verse 13. On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. Wisdom and understanding are connected. They should be in our speech. But some people only understand the rod. Some people only get discipline, because they're not able to understand anything else. Verse 14. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. You can save up knowledge, but your mouth can lead you to ruin. Verse 15. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. So in the same way that a rich man is protected by his wealth, the poverty of a poor person doesn't protect them. It's that same idea I told you about, of the difference between living in a house with barbed wire on top of it to protect you and living in a place where you can't even lock the doors. It's a completely different situation. The wages of the righteous, listen, this is a good one, okay? The wages of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I mean, that's a good verse. But this in Proverbs is such a similar idea. And he's telling us that payment for a righteous life is a peaceful, abundant life, while payment for the wicked life is more sin. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. So if you listen to instruction, you're on the right path. If not, you're not just going to mess up, but you're going to make other people mess up too. It's kind of like those friends of yours or those friends of your kids that you wish they wouldn't spend time with because they always end up getting each other in trouble. That's that idea. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Don't spread slander or lies. Exercise restraint rather than spreading lies. Whenever it comes to speaking what's on your mind, think in a way that brings restraint. This is a good word picture. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is of little worth. Good speech is gold, and wickedness is worthless. Verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. Godly speech elevates, foolish speech lowers. So fools are always trying to attack everybody else so they feel better about themselves. And wise people build other people up because they are secure in who they are. They don't need to do that to feel better about themselves. The blessings of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. God's blessing in your life are a richness. They bring depth, they bring peace, and a peaceful household, a peaceful life is very, very valuable. And toil adds nothing to it. Worry and work add nothing to the richness of the blessings that we receive from God. The more we worry, the less we're showing we trust him. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. What the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. Doing the wrong thing is a joke to those who mock God. That's what verse 23 is telling us. That doing wrong is a joke to people who mock God. And doesn't that make sense why people want to change the definition of what everything is in the world? I mean, the way our country was set up, it was established at least pretending to be Christian. Even if we want to say it wasn't Christian, they at least wanted to pretend to be Christian, right? But now we want to change the definitions of what all kinds of words mean to try to fit other things better so that people don't feel so judged by it. What the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. The dreadful dream of the wicked is realized, and the desire of the righteous is granted. We could say the nightmare of the wicked is granted. Because do you know what wicked people are really worried about the most? Death. Death comes to us all. People on their deathbed and at the end of their lives realize this. And I wish I could stand up here and tell you that I haven't seen people live this out, but I have. I have. I've seen people cheat on and divorce their wives because they just felt like it. I had somebody basically tell me, I saw my dad become a Christian on his deathbed, so why should I waste my whole life serving God when I can just, at the end of my life, decide to follow him? He's following a pattern of recklessness, this person I know. And his desire might not be granted. He might not get till the end of his life to make that decision. Verse 25. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. This is such an interesting verse. He's basically saying, when the storms of life pass, there is nothing left of the wicked. But when the righteous of people of God go through suffering and hardship and storm and trial and tribulation, they persevere because they have a firm foundation. The people of God never give up. Have you ever thought about how the church even survived the first century, much less to 2021? They tried everything they could to stuff out Christianity at the beginning. They tortured people. They put them on public displays in gladiator games. They crucified them like Jesus. They mocked them. They took away some of their rights. They really were persecuted. But the more they persecuted them, the more faith grew. And sometimes I wonder if in America we've got our prayers wrong. Maybe instead of asking God to not allow us to be persecuted, we should be asking God to allow us to bear persecution well if it does come. Because if it comes, it's going to strengthen our faith. It's going to make us more dedicated Christians. It's going to give us a stronger prayer life. Why are we so afraid of that? We need to seek wisdom. Because this verse tells us that when the storms of life hit, if you know Him, you are going to persevere. Sometimes, whether you want to or not, God doesn't always allow you to give up the way you want to give up. I remember it. It was almost 6 years ago today, maybe a week off. My brother had just committed suicide. And I was sitting writing my sermon that I was going to preach at my brother's funeral. And I said, Lord, I don't think I can go to school anymore. I said, Lord, I don't think I can finish school. I remember saying this to God. And God didn't give me an answer. God didn't say, yes, you're going to persevere. God had Dr. Miller, the person I asked you to pray for, call me. And he said, we've been through this with my brother-in-law before. Let me pray for you. And then he said, you're not getting any extra time on your assignment. You need to turn it in. And then he gave me a B instead of an A. And it was the best thing in the world that could have happened to me. He loved me where I needed to be loved, and he helped me get through that experience. So sometimes we're so afraid of that perseverance, and we shouldn't be. Because God's going to put the people in your life that you need in order to make it through that trial and that tribulation. Like I said, whether we want to or not. God's not interested in us giving up. True Christians persevere in their faith. And as much as I'd like to stop sometimes, I know I won't because God's with me. Like vinegar to your teeth and smoke to your eyes, so is the sluggard who sent him. A lazy employee will give you nothing but trouble. It's like vinegar in the mouth and smoke in the eyes. That's the message for you. Vinegar and smoke hurt your teeth in the same way that unreliable people are irritating. You ever worked with somebody unreliable? I have. It's terrible. You got to do twice as much work. You got to check their work. And in the military, you would get punished for their failure to do what they were supposed to. One of many reasons I'm glad I'm not in the military anymore. I only get punished for what I do wrong at home from my wife instead of from the government and everybody else. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be cut short. The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. For the way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless, but destruction to evildoers. And the righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. For the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. And the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. So this section, verses 27 to 30, it's the hope of the righteous versus fear of the future. Or I like to think of it like this, fear of the Lord versus fear of the future. Wicked people want to take things out on you because they think this is the only life they get to live. They have a narrow focus and they don't see beyond today. Or maybe they do, but they don't see beyond their own lifetime. They don't see with the legacy Christ-centered focus that we should see. So that we can see God's faithfulness from generation to generation to generation. Verses 31 and 32 is about watching what you say. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. Is that you? But the perverse tongue will be cut off. For the lips of the righteous know what's acceptable. We know whether we should say it or not. But the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse? So I'm going to pick four of these verses that I want you to apply. I just picked four of them. You can maybe find more than four here. There's some pretty good ones. But here's the ones that I saw. First, I think we need to apply verse 3, definitely. Okay, the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the cravings of the wicked. One of the most difficult things to do in your life is to consistently trust God throughout your whole life. It's one of the reasons that we get to live a life and constantly be challenged to follow him. And here's the test. Do you worry more about it or do you trust him more about it? Whatever the issue is. Weigh it in your mind. How much have I prayed about this versus how much have I trusted God with it? Because you got to come to a certain point where you don't pray about it in the same way anymore. That's why I put Anna's name on the prayer list, because I wanted y'all to pray for her too. I mean, I pray for my wife like every morning when I get up, you know. But I want God to do something fresh and new, and I wanted to help with that. So I asked for it. And that's the attitude I think we need to have, you know. It's not that I didn't trust God. It's that I wanted to make sure that I was doing everything I could. And we just need to be humble before the Lord and try to do that. Love covers a multitude of sins. Such a great verse. But I got to tell you, I have seen this verse used to hurt people so many times. Time and time again. Listen, this isn't an excuse to be harsh to your wife. This isn't an excuse to be a jerk to your husband. That's not the point of this. Don't take advantage of it, misuse it, or abuse it. Our relationships need to be watered like a good garden. They need to be treated correctly. If you don't treat plants correctly, they die quickly, usually, because I'm not that good with them. Third, and this might not seem like an applicable thing to you, but it is. I think we need to always remember this, because it surprised me when I read it. We need to always remember that the wicked see doing wrong against God as a joke. So we need to not act so surprised when people who are living in the world are acting like they live in the world. You know what I mean? We need to not be so surprised when people who don't know God act like they don't know God. Because to wicked people, doing what's wrong is a joke. Because they have no fear of the Lord. They don't realize that God numbers their days. And they have no fear of the Lord. And lastly, I think we can all apply verse 29. The way of the Lord is a stronghold. That's a great verse to end on, isn't it? The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless, but destruction to the evildoers. And listen, I don't always talk about it. But when you see blameless in the Old Testament, when it's translated that way, that's usually a reference to someone who is covenantly blameless. That doesn't mean that they lived a perfect, sinless life. That's not what that means. It means that they're covenantly blameless. And that means they're not violating God's law. They're not actively or passively seeking to violate God's law. So this is what I believe he's trying to tell us and why I think we need to apply it. Following God and taking him as his word protects us. It's a stronghold for us. And it's a security for those who fear him and follow him. But it hurts those who don't accept it or follow it. The idea, the image I always have in my mind of a stronghold, it's like a castle. And, I like playing video games, okay? I know I'm almost 40, but I like playing video games. And I have this video game, this old video game that I still play sometimes. And it's called Stronghold. And it's a castle simulator game where you build castles. And that is what I think about when I read this verse. I think about that video game and I think about that castle. Because you build a castle so that when the enemy tries to attack you, they fall against your walls and they can't get through. Listen. Following God's law and seeking God with your whole heart is like a castle in your life. It protects you. It protects you from the flaming arrows of the evil one, Ephesians 6. It protects us. It helps us because, never forget, we have an enemy. And we wage war on a daily basis whether we acknowledge it or not. And our weapons are not flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. Spiritual warfare is constantly going on. And we need to run to our God, who is our strong tower. He is our refuge and strength and ever present in our times of sorrow, ever present in our times of struggle. There's not a single thing that we can go through in this life that God doesn't have compassion, empathy, and care for. And we need to run to his tower. We need to run to his stronghold so that we can see the enemy lack of getting through. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word in Proverbs chapter 10. God, we just pray that you would help us to apply these words. Help us to take your word seriously and to grow in it to grow, not just in our understanding, but in our application, God, because if all we do is study your word more and more and more, and we're not changed by it, then it's just so worthless. It's so pointless. But God, let us be people who the more we look into the God's word, the more we want to change our own lives. God, help me see my own sin with greater clarity, not less. Help me see my neighbor's sin with less clarity, and help me see my own sin with more clarity. Help me run to you as a strong tower when I need to, and help me not to fall victim to that pride and that arrogance and that lack of humility that tells me that I don't need you. Because each and every one of us need you every day, Lord. Thank you. Be with us as we leave. In Jesus' name, amen.